We ought, as believers, to remember our Jewish roots. It behoves us as Christians to never forget the Jewish roots of our faith. And when you think about the Jewish roots and how the scriptures have come to us through the Jews, and how, above all, the Saviour has come to us through the Jews, then you begin to appreciate how important the Jews actually are. And so tonight, as well as this morning, we are going to think about God's chosen people. And we want to think about this psalm that, as we have already said, is known as the Holocaust Psalm. So come with me right away to verse 3. I hope you have your Bible in your hand. And it's Psalm 102. For those who are using the Pew Bibles, we're on page 642. But the Holocaust Psalm 102, verse 3, "For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an hearth." Now, you've got to look there at that phrase, "like smoke." Those two words in verse 3, "like smoke." In the original Hebrew, it reads, "in smoke." In smoke. So we could quite correctly read it, "For my days are consumed in smoke, and my bones are burned as an hearth." Verse 3 of this psalm takes us to the smoke of Auschwitz and the other death camps of the Second World War. You see, folks, many of the Jews, whenever they arrived at the death camps, they were sent immediately right away to the gas chambers. And a great separation took place. And at the flick of a finger by some Nazi commandant, people were sent to their death. They would queue up after leaving the cattle carts, having travelled for hours, maybe even days on end, and when they finally arrived at the death camps, they were queued up, and when they reached the Nazi officer, he pointed to the right or to the left. If he pointed one way, you were safe. And mind you, I use that word loosely, safe, because you were really going to be a slave labourer. But if he pointed the other way, then you were headed straight for the gas chamber. And of course, the Jews were told that they were going for a shower, but rather than water coming out of the shower heads, there was Zyklon B gas that murdered the Lord's ancient people. Well, obviously, whenever they were murdered, executed, gassed to death, their corpses couldn't be left in the gas chambers. They were quickly removed, interestingly, by other Jews who were given the very, very morbid and terrible task of taking their bodies, their remains, from the gas chambers to the crematoria. Of course, you know what happens in a crematorium. The body is burned to ashes, and the smoke ascends. And the smoke ascended from Auschwitz and Bergen-Belsen and Buchenwald and all the other Nazi death camps. The smoke of God's ancient people, the Jews. The smoke of the people who gave us the Bible. The smoke of the people who gave us our blessed Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the smoke from the crematoria wafted around the death camps and those Jews who were living. And mind you, it was a living hell, a hell upon earth. But they were breathing in, constantly breathing in the smoke from the ashes of Jews who perhaps even could have been their relatives. "My days are consumed in smoke." It's just as if you've got a Jewish prisoner in Auschwitz or some of the other death camps, and he's speaking here. And he speaks about the smoke, the stench of the smoke all around. Of course, there's been a lot of coverage on the news in recent times about the bushfires in Australia and the awful smoke there in that part of Australia. And I read even recently about the Australian Open tennis tournament. Some of the players were complaining about the air quality as the tournament was ongoing. Some of the top players were complaining that they couldn't practice and prepare for the tournament. They have some idea of what it was like to live in the Nazi death camps. For my days are consumed like smoke and my bones are burned as an hearth. The reference there to the bones being burned, surely that points us again to the crematoria. You can see the picture of the gates of hell on the screen. That's what they're actually called, the entrance to Auschwitz, the gates of hell. And the Jewish refugees and the Jewish prisoners brought there. And if they were fortunate, we would say they were taken into slave labor. But if they were not so fortunate, straight to the gas chambers, murdered in cold blood. Just because they were Jews, that was their only crime. And their bones burned. Now can you see why this psalm has been called the Holocaust Psalm? Come with me please to verse 5. Verse 5, we're not giving you an outline as such tonight. If you want the points and the headings, I'm sorry you're going to be disappointed tonight. But we're going to just take you through these different verses that point us to the awful events of the Holocaust. But don't get too discouraged or down, because we're going to speak later about the liberation. Because there's the other side of the Holocaust. And tomorrow, of course, is the anniversary. And we mentioned it this morning, the 75th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz. Verse 5. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. The psalmist there is surely describing for us someone who's suffering from starvation. We in Ulster don't know too much about starvation. And people talk about poverty and austerity and the vulnerable and all that, but really, folks, We know so little about poverty and starvation and that kind of thing. But the prisoners, the Jewish prisoners in the death camps, they knew all about starvation. The psalmist here is painting a picture of emaciated bodies near the barbed wire fences of the death camps. It's just as if he's taking his biblical telescope and he's looking down the centuries of time to the 1940s, whenever the Nazis invaded Poland and other countries in Europe and set up their death camps and their murder equipment. And in the death camps you could hear the voices of the Jews groaning because their bones were cleaving to their skin. They were starving. Buchenwald, of course, is one of the better known Nazi camps. The main cause of death in Buchenwald was starvation. It wasn't the gas chambers. It wasn't anything else. It was simply starvation. And that's what the psalmist is referring to here. That's what he's speaking of. It was not only the adults who starved, but little children were starving. And we're trying today, folks, to help you understand what the Jews suffered. And we're trying today to tell their story. There are a lot of people in our world today who do not want the story of the Jews suffering in the Second World War to be told. But as believers, we have got to tell it. And the children suffered in the awful starvation. The story is told by one of the most famous Holocaust survivors, Eli Wiesel. He tells the story of a young boy who was hanged at Auschwitz. You know what his crime was? Stealing a potato. That's all he did. He stole a potato. And he was hung. And Mr. Wiesel describes how the other inmates were forced to walk past the little boy as he hung from the gallows. And you know what really broke his heart? As he looked upon the little boy and then later after liberation as he wrote down his account. You know what broke his heart? The little boy was so light that it took him a long time to die. That is just one of the incidents that took place during the Holocaust. I want to tell you folks, I could keep you here for the rest of today until midnight telling you stories like that. The starvation that would cause a little Jewish boy to take a potato and his life was forfeited simply because of that. I hope that there is at least some empathy coming from our hearts tonight toward that little boy who, by the way, is now with Christ. That's the consolation, friends. The little children are with the Savior. We all know Mark chapter 10, don't we? Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. You could finish the rest of it, couldn't you? For of such is the kingdom of heaven. There's a lot of little Jewish children populating heaven tonight. Their little lives snuffed out by Hitler's cronies during the Holocaust. We're going to meet them someday. Those of us who are saved. Those of us who are trusting in the greatest Jew of all who died on Calvary and rose again. Oh, we're going to meet those little Jewish children someday in heaven. And they'll be able to tell us about the things they went through. But there'll be no more suffering for them. All their suffering is past. I'm sure there's not one person in the church tonight who would say, I don't want to meet those children. I wouldn't want to have anything to do with those children. May our hearts go out to them tonight. To the children who suffered so horrendously. I mean, adults should never have to suffer what the Jewish adults suffered, but especially little children shouldn't have to suffer that kind of thing. What a tragedy it is. The children of the Holocaust. We talked this morning about the children who were brought to Malyle in County Down, the Jewish children. Hundreds of them who were brought to the farm there at Malyle, brought from a war-ravaged Europe and brought to a safe haven in our little country. And the first night they slept in the barn on the hay on that farm. But then, of course, they were given proper accommodation and they were looked after and cared for lovingly by fellow Ulster people. And many of them went on to lead very, very prosperous and, well, I say happy, but as happy as could be under the circumstances, happy, healthy lives. The children. Thank God for those who survived, but oh, so many didn't survive. And we're thinking about the starvation, the awful starvation here in verse 5 that's described. I mean, we've all seen the pictures of the Jews, adults and children, and they're there in their striped suits, the striped uniforms. Being made to look as if they're less than human. Whenever in fact the reality is they are the Lord's chosen people and the apple of his eye. Verses 6 and 7 are very interesting verses as well. Because they also point to the Holocaust. Verse 6, I am like a pelican of the wilderness, the psalmist says. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. The psalmist here, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he describes three birds. He's giving us a lesson on what's called ornithology, the study of birds. And the Lord Jesus said, you remember what he said, behold the fowls of the air. It's good to study the birds, folks. Here we have the birds in the Holocaust psalm. There's the pelican of the wilderness. Well, what's the lesson from that, the pelican? Well, it's a bird that lives up in the north of Israel, in the Galilee region. But it's a bird that has a very strange mannerism. Because for days on end, it will rest its bill upon its breast. And will just sit still. A picture, surely, of the Jews in the death camps. Families torn apart. Little children wrenched away from their fathers and mothers, never to see them again. And they're just sitting still in the huts of Auschwitz or wherever, like pelicans in the wilderness. In a state of total shock, we'd call it today post-traumatic stress disorder. That's what's being described here in this psalm. And the psalmist talks about the isle of the desert. An owl, he says, I'm like an owl of the desert. Again, it's a very morbid bird. It's a bird, the owl, of course, has a very, very somber, a very depressing call. The sound it makes is so melancholy. But again, it's an apt description of the Jewish people as they endured the horrors of the Holocaust. Now let me bring you to a sparrow. The sparrow, it's mentioned there in verse 7. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. The little sparrows. We've talked already about the little children of the Holocaust. The sparrow, of course, is a bird that likes to be with other little sparrows. It's not a bird that likes to be on its own. But I believe, friends, we're brought here back to the little children of the Holocaust, and so many of them cut off from their parents and all alone in the midst of the murder and the mayhem. The little sparrows upon the housetop. I referred this morning to that poem that is found in Malail at the farm, at the Jewish refugee farm. And as far as I'm aware, it's on a bench. A special commemorative bench has been placed there to remember the children of the Kinder transport. And the poem is on the bench, and it's a little poem called Swallows. It's about the little swallows. And how the swallows, they have their migration, don't they? And during the Second World War, of course, the little Jewish swallows, the little Jewish children were brought to Ulster for protection. And they migrated, as it were. And here the psalmist, I believe he's continuing this theme, the little birds. Oh, we remember the children. The little sparrows. There's someone else who spoke about sparrows, isn't that right? This is just for you tonight, believer, if you're discouraged. Your Lord and Savior said, fear not, therefore ye are of more value than many sparrows. You're of more value than many sparrows to him. Oh, he loves the sparrows. He loves the little sparrows. The little birds, he cares for them, he feeds them. But he loves you more. He loves me more. It's wonderful to think about it. So often we get lonely and discouraged and down, don't we? And we think no one is going through what we're going through. And then the devil comes and he whispers, "The Lord has abandoned you." Why bother going to church anymore? The Lord has left you. You're a failure. Just give it all up. Well, that's the devil, isn't it? The accuser of the brethren. But I want to tell you folks, as long as there's breath in our bodies, we will have the friendship of the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He'll always be with us. Through the ups and downs of life, through the thick and the thin, the good days and the bad days, we have the Lord Jesus with us, who said that we're of more value than many sparrows. Verse 9, you're listening well, folks. We're moving on and we'll be finished very shortly. But verse 9, another reference to the Holocaust. It's another picture being painted here. Verse 9 of Psalm 102, "For I have eaten ashes like bread." I have eaten ashes like bread. We referred earlier to the crematoria of the Holocaust. Corpses were brought. Corpses of millions of people created in the image of God. Not animals, but people created in the image of the God of heaven. But their corpses were brought to these crematoria as if they were just animals and thrown into these places. Of these awful, horrendous places. And they were burned, their bones were burned, and of course, the smoke went up. And the ashes went up. And there are Holocaust survivors who have actually said that they experienced the ashes from the crematoria actually coming down upon themselves. Whenever the wind was contrary and the wind was blowing, the wind blew the ashes from the crematoria down onto the heads of the living Jews, the prisoners. And you see, they could well have said, "For I have eaten ashes like bread." It's not a very pleasant picture that we're painting. But I believe it's accurate. And I believe it helps us to enter into at least a little of the suffering of the Jewish people. But of course, there's someone who suffered on an old rugged cross. And his name is Jesus, and we love him, and he's precious to us because he's our only hope. And he's only hope of the people in new buildings who have no interest in coming into a Sunday evening service. But folks, that's why we've got to go out to them with the gospel. Can't just stay inside the four walls. Got to get out with the tracts and with the literature and knock on the door, seek to reach them, tell them about this wonderful Savior. But oh, the suffering that he went through. And I said this morning that whenever someone comes to you and asks you, "Why does the God that you worship allow all the suffering, pain and death in the world today?" Well, don't get into a big debate with them. Just take them to the cross and tell them about the suffering, the pain and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take them to the cross. Margaret was telling me that she got into a conversation with a man on the bus one day. And she took him to the cross, and that was good. She couldn't have done a better thing. Because folk ask these questions. If you believe in this God who is all powerful, then why did he allow the Holocaust to happen? Why does he allow children, young children, little children to die with cancer? And the questions just keep coming, don't they? And sometimes we fall into the trap and we try to get this big theological, you know, answer for the person with the question. But we shouldn't even bother. Folks, just take them to the cross and tell them about one who cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Ah, there's one who knows something of the loneliness of the Jews during the Holocaust. Let me bring you finally to verse 19 and 20. Verses 19 and 20 of the Holocaust Psalm. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death. Those two verses would be very appropriate for tomorrow, for the anniversary of the liberation. I don't know if they'll be read anywhere, but I trust and pray that they will. But these two verses bring us to the liberation of the Nazi death camps. And we think, obviously, tomorrow of Auschwitz, that awful place, a place that apparently, I've never been there, but apparently when you go, the silence is deafening. The birds don't sing in Auschwitz. There's just silence. But it was a place of liberation, thank God, on the 27th of January, 1945, 75 years ago tomorrow. And the other camps were liberated in that liberation year of 1945. Do you know, whenever our British troops liberated Bergen-Belsen, there were 100 Jewish prisoners who huddled around them and gathered around them. Some of them, by the way, it's told, some of the survivors have given accounts that some of the ladies cut down branches from nearby trees because, you see, Bergen-Belsen was located in a forest. And the ladies cut down the branches of the trees, and with the little strength they had left, they cast them in front of the British soldiers as they came into the camp to liberate them. But the story is told of how the Jews gathered around the soldiers, and they began to sing a song called, well, in the Hebrew it's called Hatikva, but in English, and you know that better, it's called The Hope. The Hope. It's a beautiful Jewish song, and it is today the current national anthem of the State of Israel. It wasn't back then, of course, but Israel, of course, was reformed in 1948, and Hatikva, The Hope, was taken as the new nation's national anthem. The hope. The hope of the Jewish people. Out of the ashes of the Holocaust, the phoenix of Israel would rise again. The hope. The hope has been fulfilled. You just got to look at the nation of Israel today, and my God, how God has blessed it and prospered it. And what an amazing transformation has taken place. But back to their national anthem. The title is The Hope, folks. That's one of the titles of the Lord Jesus Christ in the scriptures. He's called The Hope. You go to Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 11. And in that verse it describes the Lord as the hope of Israel. You don't have to turn to it now, but before you go to bed tonight, you look up that verse and you'll notice that the word Lord is in capital letters. Every time you see Lord in capital letters in the Old Testament, it's a messianic prophecy. It's Christ that's being referred to. He's the hope of Israel. He's your hope. If you want to be in heaven, he's your only hope.